Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with myself and my guest and co-host, friend, adopted son, Chuck Ocelli. If you're not familiar with Chuck's show, get over to ocelli.com. Check it out. He's one of the very few that I actually recommend is worth listening to and supporting. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Maria. Just remember that always, at all times, even artificial intelligence is apparently prejudiced. So let's keep that in mind as we go forward and speak into the ether.
Exactly. Who knows where it all bounces off from. Well, I guess it's been an interesting 2 weeks, but I got to tell you, you know, and I want to remind my listeners, if everything in your life is currently going haywire, down to batteries dying, or your hot water heater blowing, or being suppressed on social media, remember that we're in a Mercury retrograde. And I have to tell you, Chuck, from the people I'm talking to and my own experiences, this one is a doozy.
Well, yeah, not to disclose any too much personal information, but, you know, with the strangeness of things converging on me recently, I had to actually, pull up stakes and go somewhere else, you know, personally, physically, because of what I feel as though is a very strange shift of energy on the planet, which is causing some serious issues with certain entities that control certain creatures that actually make people behave in certain ways. I actually had to change locations, and I might do it again, huh, to be honest with you, because this is a strange time to live in, Maria.
Oh, tell me about it. You know, it's really interesting. You know, I usually put a lot of political stuff on Facebook, but this morning somebody posted old pictures from the 1964-1965 World's Fair that was held in Queens, New York. And I posted it, and I said, you know, does anybody else remember this? Because I remember going there with my sister Janet, you know, as many times as we could go. I mean, it was fascinating. And they showed us a world, remember it was 1964-65, they showed us the world of the future, and I can tell you the only thing that manifested from that idyllic future that we believed was going to happen was we got the microwave and better refrigerators. That's about it.
You know, I was just thinking, I had not looked at the thing, but I was just thinking to myself, I'm willing to bet that only the kitchen of tomorrow actually happened.
Exactly. That was about it. You know, they had the flying cars and, you know, listen, when my generation, you know, when we were kids, we used to giggle about the fact if we projected our age forward, we all realized that we're all going to still be alive in the year 2000. And we truly believed we would achieve utopia. If anybody would have told me that this is what we would be living in the year 2000s, I never would have believed it from where we were in the 60s.
Well, you know, there's that. And then, of course, looking back, you could have been thinking about the Mayan calendar. I remember for a time people were talking about Nostradamus and the particular possibility that the world might end. I don't know if you remember all these interesting crazes.
But
of course,
yeah.
It seems like groups of individuals at all times are looking to either end the world or are looking for the world to be ended for them, one way or another, and taking no account of what came before them or what might come after. And it just seems like a rinse and repeat sort of cycle.
Right.
But, you know, I got to tell you that I was born some years later, and, you know, we still had these ideas about what the world would be like in the year 2000. And it was definitely something that we were going to see and how much the world was going to change in our lifetime. And very, very little of the, let's just say the optimistic view came true. Very, very little.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because Donald Jeffries, who I know you've had on your show, and he continues to be on mine, he saw the post and he said, it looked like those glimpses into the future looked more wonderful than the reality turned out to be. He said, where are those cool flying cars we saw on the Jetsons? Significantly increased lifespans, a shorter work week, technology, wealth, productivity. And he's got a good point. Where is it? It's a good thing. We have decreased lifespans. We have a new generation of Americans that'll never be able to have the American dream. So we were, you know, either we were very optimistic or stupid to think that, you know, that would be our future. But, you know, I was also part of that generation, Chuck, where we were protesting. We were going out there for peace, like John Lennon's song, you know, give peace a chance. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard a politician talk about peace since Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah, you know, and the reason is that not only are they not motivated because there's no profit in peace, according to most people, but the fact is that the people don't want to hear this. I got bad news for everybody who thinks, you know, well, why is it that, somebody wouldn't want solutions? I got to tell you, every time I hear solutions, it's usually in a very small group. You never get the mass appeal when it comes to it. And I find that remarkable. People would much rather watch the struggle, would much rather watch the I'm right, you're wrong kind of scenario. The battle for supremacy, you know, owning the libs and going out and, you know, shaming the conservative. This is much more appealing to most people, apparently, which unfortunately is not productive, has been going on for a long time, and quite frankly is growing tiresome in my mind. I don't know, maybe it's just me and my very interesting generation, which I have been noting for some time, has not actually seized the reins of power. We are really, I'm in my late 40s. This is exactly the time that people my age should be ending up in positions of prominence. And what's really happening is that people in your age group, which are behind me a bit, are actually battling with the people who were born after me.
I think that's another one of these social media triggers, this whole baby boomers versus the millennials. And I won't get into that, okay? You know, this, what do they call it? Okay, boomer. Okay. It's just the Pavlov bell whistle of the week. There's one every week. And some people are saying, why are they pitting the boomers against the millennials? But people don't understand. This is another form of mind control. And, you know, why would boomers be against the millennials? They're their grandchildren, okay? But people don't think, so they're going to just get into it. The only good meme I saw was something Joe Biden said, and Bernie reacted to Joe Biden with, okay, boomer. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that is funny. But the point I'm trying to make here is not about necessarily the battle, because, again, that's all superficial. It is very typical for grandma and grandpa to look at their grandchildren and say, you know, it's not like it was when I was growing up, kid. Mm-hmm. That's normal.
Right.
But, what's happening is, you know, my generation, again, we just didn't show up for any of this. It's very funny because the on-demand society that you see was designed for my generation. We were the people that didn't want to wait and didn't really care about the order of things and just didn't care to take power. So you don't see the Generation Xers really asserting themselves in these political battles. I find that rather strange because usually there's a transition from generation to generation where there is a bit of a clash because, you know, there are people that are afraid of change and there are those that embrace it a little too easily.
Right.
There are people that go forward with things which might not be advisable because it is the brand new shiny thing that technology has presented. It's a very strange thing to see, though, that Generation Xers have not shown up.
Well, and, I think it's a little understandable. I mean, if you want to hear my perspective on it, you know, sure. My generation, and, you know, let's not forget, you know, I'll be 70 next month. My generation, we were raised in post-war America. So everybody was still, believe it or not, coming out of the depression of the, you know, the first depression. And then you had, you know, the people that right after World War II, you know, I grew up in poverty. A lot of my friends grew up in poverty. And then because we had opportunity, we could scratch our way out of poverty. And I think because we were poor, we overdid things for our children, which would be your age group. Okay, we bought you the best sneakers. You had your own room. You had your own clothes. They weren't hand-me-downs, you know, this, that, the other thing. And I think that your generation kind of got used to it. What's interesting is your children or your children's ages, you know, the kids in their 20s, the kids in their, you know, late teens, 18, 19, they're a totally different generation. Because of that. And I think that that's a good thing because that generation is aware, they are active, they are participating, they are running for office. You know, just look at, you know, Alexandria Cortez. So many, and she's not the youngest one. So maybe some things just skip a generation. And I'm not giving anybody fault or blame. I'm just looking at it from my own experience over a lifetime.
Well, you know, that is true, but I think you need to factor in that what we learned growing up, regardless of what parents tried to do, is that through our own skills, through our own, well, our own efforts, we weren't necessarily going to have the opportunity for upward mobility, which is something that your generation definitely embraced, the idea that no matter who you were, and this is what we were taught, no matter who you were or where you came from, you could become anything.
Right.
You could achieve anything. Yeah. And that's a great idea, and I love embracing that idea. And it's true that, you know, you can come from some very interesting circumstances to get into some very great positions that you value, not necessarily always the financial ones,
right,
but that you value. But here's the problem. A lot of us learned very quickly that the system was extremely rigged against the majority of us to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused, you know, we were the apathetic ones who sat there and said, you know what, I don't want to get involved because I can't see that it does any good.
Right.
And I think, you know, again, speaking as an Xer, Generation X, this is something that we didn't just embrace, we surrendered to it,
mm-hmm.
Which is why you don't see us coming into our own as far as, again, power and all that. But like you said, the generation after, those who followed us, those in the later part of our time, so to speak, they are going to do something because they saw us do nothing.
Exactly. And they also don't buy into the programs, okay? You have a unique soul group that just comes in and rejects everything, okay? They reject the programming, the mind control, the, you know, politics, the materialism, religion. You know, no matter how much it looks like, you know, Christians are in the majority here, Christianity is losing people. Religions are losing people like crazy. There are actually more nuns, N-O-N-E-S, in America now than there are Christians. So, you know, they're a smarter generation. They're not materialistic. They're not buying the dream of America.
Right.
You know, they're looking towards the future. You know, I had a young man visit this weekend. He's probably, I want to say, 30 max. And, you know, he asked me what my opinion was on Andrew Yang. And I said to him, Andrew Yang is a very smart young man. He certainly knows about technology and what's needed in the future. I said, but he doesn't have a shot in hell because you still have the same people picking the candidates.
Right.
So if, you know, if, listen, there used to be an old movie, I think it was called Escape from New York with Kurt Russell. You might want to watch it because it's pretty good. The premise of the movie, if it's the right title, is that people over the age of 30 had screwed up the whole world. So their solution was to kill everybody over 30 and start the world over again. Now, I saw that movie when I was probably 30 or a little younger. And even then, I said to myself, that's a good idea. I'd be willing to lose my life when I turn 30 if they could fix everything that's screwed up in this world. But going back to the World's Fair, think about this, Chuck. If it was 1964, 1965 that was taking place, you know they had to have planned that for years before.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what happened in 1963, and maybe that's why we didn't get that future world.
Well, see, there you go. There was a guy who was actually talking about peace and the attempts to move forward enough to abolish war itself. You know, you can point to the American University speech he made shortly before his death, John F. Kennedy. You can point to a couple of other interesting speeches that he made in the last year of his life where he discussed the concept of literally abolishing the need for warfare mm-hmm. and seeking cooperation among people because we all share the same planet. And, well, you know, that's a really dangerous idea, Maria, for those that benefit from us keeping at each other's throats, isn't it?
Right.
Now, as far as Escape from New York goes, I don't remember that part of the movie. I got to say, I remember...
it must have been, maybe it was a different movie, but that was the premise. I was pretty sure Kurt Russell was in it. But it's a really old movie.
I'm going to have to look up the title because Escape from New York, as I remember it, is they turn New York City into a prison.
Yeah, that and, I remember, the walls around it and whatnot. Build a wall.
Yeah, they built a wall around New York and just decided, okay, now that's an open-air prison, and the president crashes in the open-air prison from an airplane. So they send Snake Plissken in to go retrieve him. Still an educational movie, Escape from New York,
so
my
I
friend. I saw it on a drive-in theater screen. Because I was able to sneak in through the back fence and watch it on the lot
I remember that.
I was a kid.
I remember that one. But yeah, you know, listen, it was so long ago, and you know, it's a million movies in my head away. But when you think about it, you know, when that guy, when they murdered, let's call it that way, when the government murdered Kennedy, I really believe they shifted the timeline on this planet. You know, if you think about so many different timelines that could be existing at the same time, I think they just threw a monkey wrench into that future we could have had.
Mm. Well, you know, it's a couple of things that came together, beginning with the assassination in 1963. I think of Medgar Evers, because he was killed before Kennedy, but then Kennedy was killed. And then they literally decapitated all of the leadership that was willing to discuss exactly the concepts we're talking about, which, you know, the deaths of Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy following in 1968.
Yeah.
All right. So you have a five-year time period here. Also the killing of Malcolm X in between. You have a five-year time period here where the individuals that were in a position of leadership would have been able to really rally a whole lot of people and bring new concepts onto the table that have not been seen ever after. For 50 years after, they have not been seen again. The idea that there could be a literal war on poverty for real, not by the government, okay, and I know we're a warlike people and we declare war on everything, and I know. But what I'm saying is to actually do battle with the concept of poverty, to actually do battle with the concept of being at war with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are revolutionary ideas that disappeared
right
when we went into the 1970s.
No, and here we are, you know, it's 2019, and you have the Republican Party, you have the evangelicals, you have all these millionaire TV fake Christian pastors talking about going to war, literal war, if Trump loses the election in 2020.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing you mentioned that because I was about to get there. We're looking at an interesting time because the impeachment hearings that are about to happen, right?
Right.
I see them as a big distraction, and I'm wondering what is going to be done behind the scenes while this is being covered on every single network 24 hours a day, wall to wall, guaranteed. I'm wondering. What is going to happen behind the scenes? I was trying to discuss this last night on my show. One caller told me that they thought that there would be some interesting things that might happen in the banking sector that were going to be of significance later on, that that might happen during this time because people will be so distracted by the impeachment. But when we get into what's happening here, it's going to guaranteed add more divisiveness to an already divided nation. It's going to cause more of these battle lines to be drawn, no matter how ignorant they are. Because this, nobody who is really vocally loud about this, quite honestly right now, is speaking to the truth of what's actually happening. They are just concerned about their side being the winner, right? What I talked about before, owning the libs, making sure the conservatives are embarrassed, whatever. Even though nobody's really a real liberal anymore, nobody's a real conservative anymore, but it is about the blue and the red. So we'll have that go on, and with 1 year leading to the time when, you know, somebody's going to be selected for POTUS again.
Right.
I figure that all that's going to successfully happen here is that Trump will be reselected. I figure that despite the fact that he's being booed off of stages today on his stupid triggered book tour, they're going to offer up Donald Trump Jr. in 2024. This is the plan, and this is actually the plan of the entire establishment. The actual opposition to Trump, I believe, is a complete illusion. But let's put all that aside for a minute. This happens, and if anything questionable goes on with the elections, which wouldn't you be surprised if there was a clean election?
Yeah, I'd be shocked.
Really decisive.
I'd be shocked. It'd be like Matt Bevin's looking for a recount. It'll be worse than that.
Well, see, that's what I'm looking at is, you know, a lot of politicians have learned, and not just on the GOP side, but a lot of politicians have learned, hey, if I just ignore and refuse to leave and refuse to accept shame or disgrace, it'll go away. Remember the governor who had blackface on?
Right, wasn't he in Virginia?
Yeah, he's still there.
Right. Well, listen, you know, when you have a president who breaks the law every time he opens his mouth, I mean, every day he breaks more laws, blackface, I guess, becomes, you know, insignificant. You know, I mean, what is it truly going to take? How many more cases does Trump have to lose? All right, now he's got to pay a $2 million fine for stealing from his supposed veterans charity. $25 million for his Trump University. I mean, and what does this guy have to do? Now he's promoting his son's book. And you know what I saw online today? He's actually selling Christmas paper to wrap your packages for Christmas with Trump Pence on it at $60 a roll. Okay.
$60.
I've never seen a president hawk as much as this guy does. He sells hats, T-shirts. What, isn't he not making enough money? I mean, what is his problem from this millionaire that he's going to sell wrapping paper also? I mean,
Sharpies. Don't forget the Sharpies with his signature on them.
Or straws. I mean, come on. I mean, he has totally debased the office that I actually, you know, thought was a respectful thing, you know, growing up. But, you know, you look at it, you know, for me, it's even more amazing than it is to you, Chuck, because I can't figure out how we went from Kennedy to Trump in one lifetime, how this country went from what I thought was, you know, the promise of America when I was a kid to the nightmare that America is now.
See, you'd think I'd be less shocked than you, right? Because when I was learning to read, my father taught me to read with newspapers, and quite honestly, they were still discussing what happened over the Watergate scandal when I was learning to read in the newspapers.
Right.
Right? So you'd think I'd go, well, presidential corruption is kind of normal, right? But no. See, Nixon had to leave.
Right.
In order
he
to
at least
protect
resigned.
Himself.
Right. Well, you got to blame Ford for pardoning him. But, you know, now when they poll people across the country, especially Democrats, which I'm not surprised, they're not happy with just impeached. They want Trump tried and convicted. So, you know, there are some thinking people in this country that say what a ganef he is. That's a New York word for meaning a thief, like hachenhandel, which is also Yiddish for, you know, basically a snake oil salesman. But what amazes me is that every day he does something else that's totally illegal, and it's become the norm. So it makes you wonder, what kind of next president do we get? Is it going to be, you know, Camacho from Idiocracy?
Well, he would be a lot more entertaining. And I'll tell you what, What kills me about Trump is not necessarily Trump and his criminality. We knew that was going to happen. If you're from the Northeast, you know this already.
Right.
But the idea that people that are supposed to be, you know, in some way or other, public servants or, you know, just, how about this, adults, go in there and support this nonsense mm-hmm. and back him up and protect him. I mean, Roger Stone's on trial today. We know what Roger Stone is, and we expect this from Roger Stone,
right.
Another guy who traces back to Nixon. But anyway, you know, this guy you expect to back the criminality, and I mean, he's practically like a Batman villain in a comic book anyway.
Right.
I mean, the Penguin without the limp.
Right. Anyway, doesn't he have a huge tattoo of Nixon on his back?
Yes, he does.
I mean, that's very sick, man. That's very sick.
But you go, okay, that's Roger Stone. But there's a constantly rotating group of individuals, sycophants, that just want to be there to sit there and support him. I mean, funniest thing in the world, if you want to put all this in a nutshell, yesterday the president tweeted out that people should support Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, and he lost. They kicked him off as soon as he said it. It's like that football game in Alabama where they never lost a home game for 4 years till they cheered Trump and lost.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So that's the other hashtag, everything Trump touches dies. And I was like, let's hope he masturbates.
Oh, exactly. And hey, maybe that's already happened, and that's why we see what we see, because, you know, it is quite the blow to the ego if a man loses his manhood. Maybe that's already happened. Instead of the Midas touch, it's the death grip. I don't know.
Right, but listen, what president is going to tell people how to vote on Dancing with Stars, with the Stars? That's yet another thing he shouldn't be doing.
Well, you know, I
think he put out 85 tweets just Saturday night.
Well, I thought he was going to be so busy being president.
Yeah, what has he really done as president besides watch TV, insult regular Americans or to movie stars or all the way up to, you know, 5-star generals and play golf? I mean, you know, and kiss the ass of every dictator on the face of the earth.
Well, you forgot to accuse every single bureaucrat of being somebody who's against him at the second that some facts come out.
Exactly.
I mean, you forgot that part, too, because one minute somebody's a great guy, and the next minute he hardly knows him, and then maybe they're his enemy. You never can tell.
Right. Well, now he never knew Sondberg either, Sondland, I mean. But even though Sondland donated $1 million to his campaign and he gave him an ambassadorship as a thank you, now he didn't know him either.
Well, why not? He barely knew Manafort, and he ran his campaign. So,
okay.
You know.
One day he'll say he didn't know his own son, which is just a matter of time.
Now, there's going to be a hard one for him to say. You know, I don't know how he could possibly dislodge himself from Junior there, that would be hilarious.
But it's just incredible. You know, as an aside, I will say that I am a little preoccupied this morning, because this morning is Jimmy Carter's going under the knife. And Jimmy is 95 years old. Not good. He fell twice, as you know. And they said he had some kind of a hemorrhage in his brain. They're going in to try to remove some kind of hematoma in his brain from falling. To me, that's a huge story. There's a man I'd rather talk about than Trump. He's a guy who was set up by the Bush-Reagan administration.
Right.
You know, he got into office hoping he could make change until the powers that be picked his cabinet, which was all CFR. So his hands were tied from the first day. And of course, my thoughts go out to him, because the guy turned out to be a hero, whether you liked him as a president or not. There's a man who truly lives his Christianity. You can't criticize him for that.
No, and my thoughts are definitely with him as well. I actually just went by the hospital he's at earlier this morning because he's very close to where I am.
Oh, is there like a group of people outside or a vigil or anything going on for him?
You know, there actually was not early this morning.
Jesus, that's
pretty sad. I'm not sure if that's because it's cold here.
Well, speaking of the cold, this morning they grounded 1,500 flights across the country. Because of this supposed storm that's hitting all these states with, you know, snow and whatnot. And a lot of people are saying that this cold front is geoengineered.
It would not surprise me at all, but the cold snap is definitely going to hit some areas and set records in a lot of places, according to a lot of actual meteorologists, not just your local guy who got the weather gig,
right.
But real meteorologists are saying that that this is going to be quite the remarkable cold snap, and it is. And I don't know. I don't know what to say about whether it's been geoengineered. I haven't been able to look into any of the data to see what's going on.
Right, so if we don't want to, well, I'm trying to think of, I'm trying to think of his name because he sent out an email this morning. I didn't have real good enough time to read it. But the one that does geoengineering.com, his
name.
Dane
Wigginton.
There you go. Yesterday, I believe, he had a thing saying this looks geoengineered. But here you have a world where, let's say it's not geoengineered or man-made. It's a freak thing, okay? Australia's on fire. California's on fire. You got floods in the Midwest, and you got idiots like Michelle Bachmann or Paula White who says, God promised there'll never be any more floods, so there aren't any. I guess they haven't been paying attention to the news. Tell that to the victims from Katrina all the way to this year's floods. So people have to pay attention that something obviously is changing, okay? Whether it's the weather, whether it's the climate, whether it's Earth going through what I used to call her menopause, but nothing is normal anymore. And with this Mercury retrograde, it just seems like it's amping everything up.
Oh, this is craziness. And I advise everybody, I'm having a hard time telling myself, I'm going to say this for myself, not just for people listening. But also for you listening, we have to maintain calm. This will pass because a lot of things have been in upheaval for me as of recent times. I'm sure for you guys out there, it is a time of remarkable unrest in one way or another. You may find it through your electronics or finance or through unseen complications and all sorts of circumstances. But just remember that this is going to pass.
Right. This too shall pass.
And not all of us can be Paula White, where everywhere we step is apparently consecrated ground.
Right. Meanwhile, she's a phony. I mean, she's a phony with a fake doctorate. You could see as she's praying in the White House to keep the demons away from the 2020 election. I'm like, the demons are right there, and she's number one. When you have real vision, you can really see. I'm going to call them all shapeshifters, okay? You could say I watch too much Supernatural, but I know better, okay? These things are not human beings. They have no sensibility. They have no human traits. They have no empathy, no sympathy, no love. There's no emotions there. And you see it happening all around the world, from Chile to protest in Haiti, Hong Kong, where they're burning the place down.
Where they're burning protesters.
Right, burning protesters. I saw pictures out of Hong Kong this morning of a college that was burnt to the ground. I think that on some level, the small people, the Lilliputians, are rising up. And, this morning there was a great article. I don't know if you like Robert Reich and his work, but I think he writes the best stuff. And he had a great article out that, the rich are fearing Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, but they need to fear the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at that, my mind goes back to, the movie Gangs in New York, which is based on real history, where, for $300, you could get out of conscription, but most Americans and New Yorkers didn't have $300. And after a while, they just decided to tear ass on the super rich and chase them out of their homes, beat them in the streets, whatever they had to do. And I thought of that when I read his headline this morning. The rich need to fear all of us, not just Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. Anyway, hold on, Chuck. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Monica Sepulveda of Wake Up with Maria and Monica. You can hear our show every third Tuesday. And we give you tools, solutions, and the way to change your life forever. Each morning you can either choose fear, worry, hate, anger, or you can just choose love. which balances everything and changes the trajectory of your life. Maria's show is so amazing. You need to tell another person. For the small amount of money that you pay for a subscription and the value that you receive in return with her guests who are unmatched, with her wisdom, with her reports of what's happening on this planet, how to change it, and with that sense of humor, oh my gosh. Her Reiki sessions blow my mind. Every time she has sent me some Reiki, it works. I heal. And I'm just blown away by this old soul, Maria. I'm glad to call her my friend. I hope that you book a session with her for a Reiki session or for a reading, because you will not be disappointed. But most important, tell a friend about her show. Take care and make it a great day. It's a choice, you know. Bye.
Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water, where Chuck and I never know what we're going to talk about before we start the show. And then the show just goes where it needs to go, and I always trust that, Chuck. Because if you and I are feeling and thinking this way, that means a lot of people are too. And they need the confirmation that you're not losing your mind. You're not out there alone, twisting in the wind. There is a lot more of us, and this is what people keep forgetting. There's a lot more of us than there are of them. And I don't care what level you put that on.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's just, you know, once again, I want to say that frustration is something that is very common at this time. It seems to be anybody I speak to, if they get, you know, talking to me about personal things, there is frustration. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's going to pass. It's not permanent. And what we need to do is make sure that we don't make any permanent decisions.
No, this
to
is
try
not,
and solve temporary problems, okay?
This is not a time to make...
like a common trope, but it is necessary to inform people or remind them.
Right, not a time. Not a time to make decisions on a Mercury retrograde, especially. But, you know, this is also a situation where Mercury's doing something else special in the sky. And if you look at the moon at night, you can actually see Mercury in front of the moon as a black dot. You know, I went out last night and took a look myself, but it looked like the moon was a million miles away than usual. But it was gorgeous. I mean, it was a beautiful moon. I want to get back to this young man who I knew in advance was a Republican and comes from a family of Trump supporters. So I knew that I would have to tailor the way I speak to him to try to reach his brain. So there he was, you know, talking to me, and he asked me a question. He says, you know, he was talking about Trump, and he says, well, don't you believe the deep state is after Trump? And I looked at him and I said, would you believe the deep state is Trump? And he looked at me a little bewildered, and then I hit him with the second sentence. I said, did you ever hear of Nikola Tesla? And I was amazed that a 30-year-old knew who Nikola Tesla was. And he said, well, yes, I do. I said, do you know when he died, he had like 180 crates of all his inventions and material? I said, do you know who took 150 of those crates? And he looked at me and I said, the man's name was George Trump, none other than Trump's uncle. Do you think he's not deep state? You should have, if I wish I would have had a camera to take a picture of his face when I said that. And I says, you need to do a lot more learning and a lot more research before you just buy what you think you know. I said, and you can also research George Herbert Walker's Bush's part in Tesla's murder. So, you know, these people are the deep state, even though, you know, they come at you like, you know, I'm just a regular businessman. I don't have any connections, blah, 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 because nobody does the homework. You remember when George W. was running for office, nobody talked about the fact that his family supported Hitler. Nobody talked about the background of the Bush family, not in the mainstream media. So everybody thought out, yeah, I want to elect this guy. He's a nice guy. He's the kind of guy I want to have a beer with. You know, so, you know, the media doesn't do a job of educating anybody. Okay.
Yeah. And you know, for the most part, nowadays, though, to be honest with you, if it's brought up in mainstream media, you know, flapping heads, speaking at you circles, they do acknowledge that, oh, well, yeah, there was this little thing with the Bank of New York. But when HW and W were both running, nobody would mention that anywhere. That was the land of the crazy conspiracy theorists.
Right, it was all covered up. Well, and now what did they say? That the National Enquirer buried about 60 stories on Trump while he was running?
Something like that.
Right, so, you know, if people think mainstream media is giving them the truth, they got a long way to go, because you and I both know all it's going to be now for the next weeks is going to be the impeachment hearings, night and day, okay? Right. And that's all they're going to talk about. So you're right. When there's a story like that, I always follow the news that I get, not from MSM, to see what's going on. What are they covering up? Okay, and every channel will be repeating the same thing, the same talking head saying the same points, like nothing else in the world is happening. Ford Motors is not putting in a factory here. They decided to go to Mexico because of Trump's trade war. Who's covering right. that on the news? U.S. Steel is laying people off. Who's covering that on the news? Trump's out there tweeting that our economy's doing great.
Who's covering that, you know, the guy who's supposed to be withdrawing us from Syria, you know, don't you want him to get us out of these wars? Who is covering on the news that, you know, the 18 troops or whatever that he said, oh, we finally pulled them out when we gave over that territory to the Turks and the Russians, but hey, it was time to get Americans out of harm's way. Well, it's funny because 500 to 600 troops are going to remain in Syria anyway.
Exactly.
Anybody covering
it? I covered that yesterday on my show. Or renting our troops out to Saudi Arabia. Okay. I mean, we've always been, you know, it's always been wars for oil, money, and gold. But never so much in your face where we're now paid mercenaries and openly.
And to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, who, you know, is so worthy of being able to purchase our righteous indignation, because after all, they are great defenders of human rights, aren't they?
Oh yeah, for sure. Did you see that guy? Did you see that guy, the CEO of Uber, try to defend the murder of Khashoggi by saying the Saudis made a mistake?
Oh yeah, mistake.
It was a mistake, and then when he got slammed, that's the only time he tried to, as usual, like everybody in this administration does. They try to walk back their truth. They say the truth the first time, how they really feel, and then but that's not what I meant. So,
well, especially in light of pushback, or if there's something that comes out that absolutely contradicts the BS that they laid out the first time, yeah, then it's time to walk things back because you busted. I mean, listen, the Ukrainians didn't know anything about the quid pro quo. That's not even possible. Oh, wait a minute. You mean one of our bureaucrats testified that they did know about it? Well, maybe they're not exactly accurate because,
Well, what I do like is that they dropped the quid pro quo, which goes way over most Americans' heads anyway, and they're calling it what it is, extortion.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like with Trump, you know, oh, he misspoke. Call it what it is. It's a bold-faced lie. But the media is responsible for us having Trump, okay? Twitter's responsible because all they care about is ratings, and people don't get that. You know, this guy gets free advertisement, free coverage 24 hours a day.
Right.
Have you ever seen a president do that before? I mean, with Obama, I remember when, at one point he wanted to do a speech and the channels wouldn't cover it unless he paid for it.
Well, see, this is the point that I cannot get. The average, you know how you were enlightening that young man about the deep state?
Right.
And first of all, the deep state is a shorthand for something that was, you know, the deep political state or deep politics that are involved in the state. This is something that, you know, best of my knowledge, Peter Dale Scott, who I'm hoping to have on the show, Professor Scott, very soon to discuss exactly this point. It's kind of a mutation of what he was talking about. But let's put that aside for a second. I can't get the average Trumper to wrap their mind around the fact that the media, as much as you think they're, you know, the resistance against Trump and they're against him and he's fighting the media, are actually doing his bidding by keeping him on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everything he does, this guy farts, tweets, or makes a face, and it's on.
I know.
Okay? So the thing is, the media has enabled him to legitimacy and has enabled him to simply take the air out of the room from everything else and be the main focus. You can't even buy that, not even with all of the billions of corrupt dollars that are coming in, not even with all the merchandise that he's selling to buy his ads like he did on the World Series about, you know, the Democrats don't do anything. They just want to impeach us. We're doing great. You can't buy being on TV 24 hours a day. Oh, but they're saying bad things about him. But they're getting his name right, aren't they? They're showing his face, aren't they? Right. They're recounting every single thing he says.
Well, I remember when I was studying business in school, and one of the axioms that they taught us, which is still true, if you see your name in print 7 times, people will remember it. And right. they said that it doesn't matter what they say about you, as long as they see your name.
And that is the truth. Now, it could vary a little bit. Listen, when it comes to business, if you got a restaurant, you know, the news stories are coming out that you're poisoning everybody with your food, right. maybe not helpful. But if you can survive that, right. okay, well, like a year later when people forget why it is your name was in the news, mm-hmm. guess what? You got advertising. Because people go, you know, I remember that place from somewhere. Maybe we should try it.
right.
Really what it comes down to here is that over the course of 4 years, Maria, 4 years now,
very long.
Trump has
years.
Been on the media every single day. Do you realize it's been 4 years? Because in 2015, his run started. He was on TV every single day from that point to today.
Exactly. Now, listen, these 4 years have felt like 400. I forget which late night host. It might have been Colbert who said, usually the president is the one who ages, not the country.
Yeah.
And he is. And, you know, I had an article, I think I mentioned it on my new show the other day, that Americans are already becoming anxious and depressed over the 2020 election. All right.
Yeah.
When you have Trump derangement syndrome and you have Trump fatigue syndrome and all this stuff, people are just tired. You know, we never had to pay so much attention to politics like with this moron in office. You know, I want a president I don't even see from, hear from, or anything else. I just want him to go there, do your work, go to sleep, wake up, do it again.
Yeah, that would be nice, huh? But no, we don't get that. Right now, what we get is a guy that is, and people just go, well, just turn it off, just ignore it. Well, you can't. And
no,
I'll tell
it's
you
everywhere.
Why else.
Everywhere you go, first of all, it's TVs, okay? And just the sight of him immediately brings up a rage inside me that I try to quell most of the day. I don't even want to look at him, okay? Listening to the sound of his voice. To tell you the truth, the other night I was surfing YouTube just to catch up on Donnie Jr. Guido. And it was the first time I ever really watched him, ever. I didn't know what his voice sounded like or anything before that because I had no interest to even watch him. But I wanted to see the fracas that happened on The View. And him getting booed at his book signing by his own fans. But he's a weasel, okay? There's nothing even masculine about this guy. And you could see how phony he is. You know, my father used to say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And the Bible says that a good tree can't produce bad fruit and vice versa.
Right.
And when you look at his kids, they're just like him. You know, how many patents does Ivanka have? The countries she's traveled to on our dime are all countries she has businesses in, okay? And she's still trying to defend him because they were all raised to be a pack of wolves, okay? The wolves of White House instead of the wolves of Wall Street. But, you know, I try to tell people, and you know, it's different when I can get somebody's attention, and I have that gift to know how to talk to people, like talking to that young man without him getting upset or angry or yelling or whatever. But I have my way of making them think. And I think that at the end of the day, at the end of my life, if all my body of work just accomplished one thing, it made people think, I know I did my job.
Well, you know, that's why sometimes I do stuff which is outside of the political realm and I try to detach from it. You know, to give people a chance to think about something else on occasion, which has been the case lately on the show. But quite frankly, once again, I won't be able to ignore what's going on with what's happening with these impeachment hearings and so on. But it gets rather depressing to me that I can go to a grocery store and honestly, you know, ask somebody, hey, do you know where they have these other beans? Okay, because I'm looking for a particular kind of green beans. And somehow or other, that conversation leads to Trump.
Oh, God, I know. It's terrible.
You know, like, I have never seen anything in my life. Like, okay, temporarily, let's just say a major national tragedy happens, right? You know, like 9/11. When it happened, within those first few weeks, you know, when people were able to speak to each other, of course, that came up. But, you know, a few months later, people started to try to move on, even though they were continuously traumatizing everybody with the images and the stories and how many people never came home and, you know, all that. They were doing that, but you know what? People still decided to move on.
Well, we can't move on because this is an everyday assault on our sensibilities. Every day.
Right.
It doesn't stop. You know, to me, the best thing that could happen is if Trump loses his ability to speak or use his hands. You know, silence is golden. I mean, this guy hangs himself every day, and the entire GOP, from, you know, Lindsey Graham to Moscow Mitch, they all are, they've all shown that they're not men. They have nothing that defines a man in their character anymore. They're just a bunch of, you know, ass-kissing sycophants. I mean, what does Trump have on all these people? Why are they all so terrified of him? He's a nothing. He's a coward. He's a wannabe gangster. Why is everybody so terrified to actually do their job? Okay, Mitch, Moscow Mitch says that he's not. They don't even want to look at the evidence. He's already made up his mind on the impeachment, and nothing's even happened yet. Now, if that was you or I working a job, and your boss gives you a stack of papers to review, and you say, "Yeah, you know what? I don't want to review that," you're going to keep your job?
Well, not only are you not going to keep your job, but I got to say that you want to talk about masculinity, which confuses me at the moment, is, and I hate to do this, but people that have served in the military, because it was Veterans Day yesterday.
Right.
And, you know, people that have served in the military that are supporting this guy, I don't get it. These are the same people who were angry when, you know, Bill Clinton was a draft dodger, right? But Donald Trump isn't.
Five times draft dodger. He got out on a fake doctor's note, not even a real thing. But I guess his bone spurs weren't hurting him when he went to the parade in New York, where he got booed. People screamed to impeach him and lock him up. You know he heard that. You know what I mean? Real thinking people are not going to cheer him. I felt sorry for the kids in Alabama because they were warned not to boo the president or they would lose their season tickets. Of course, the next day the university tried to walk that back. Okay. Listen, my father taught me something when I was very young, Chuck. He said, just remember, once words come out of your mouth, nothing you can do can put them back in your mouth. So always tell the truth.
You know, a very similar lesson was taught to me by a lot of people that were older than me very early on. They worded it a little differently, but they'd say, you know, you can take back a lot of things.
Right.
But once you let words come out of your mouth and they're heard by somebody else, there's nothing you can do about where they go from there.
Right. So they're, they, you know,
careful.
And I watched the crowd, you know, before the game. I thank God for YouTube. It's got a lot of uses. I don't have to watch the whole things anymore.
Right.
But I watched the crowd of, you know, young white ignorant children, because Alabama, and it's not a rank on Alabama or a diss, as they say today, Alabama is ranked the dumbest state in the union. You look at the poverty level, you look at, first of all, it's mostly all white. You look at the poverty level, you look at the food stamp usage, you look at where they are on, as far as their education, I think they're 48th in the country. And then you give them a little bit, and they were all saying how wonderful it was. The president's coming to one of their home games, blah, blah, blah. And you could see the rah-rah, sis, boom, bah, because between diet and air pollution and God knows what else, you know, I could see most of them were, we'll say, less than par on the IQ scale. But there were seven brave kids who stood up wearing the letters on their T-shirts that spelled out impeach. I don't know whether they've been punished or not for that.
You know, I don't know either, but I do know that also, you know, a moment of silence for the Trump baby balloon, because apparently somebody decided to stab that to death in Alabama.
Right, another one of his crazy fans. Listen, from the MAGA bomb on down, you know, he has, in how could we say, enabled everybody that was borderline psychotic to go full stream psychotic. You never see these stories about a Democrat sending bombs or white powder to Republicans, you know, on, you know, Nancy Pelosi's hate list. And stabbing the baby balloon where, by the way, there's plenty of those baby balloons around. The guy rents them out. It just shows the level of ignorance and the kind of dangerous psychotic people that roam the streets that Trump can unleash on us with a tweet. You know, I mean, you know, these people delude themselves into thinking that, you know, just because you're liberal or a Democrat, you don't have weapons either. You know, that's a delusion they have. But, you know, if they want to push everybody towards a civil war, no one can do it better than Trump.
Well, do we have time for the one big question, or are we out?
We got about 2 minutes, so let's have it.
All right, here we go. You know, I've been pondering this for a while, and I wonder, it's a pretty short answer I need from you, but I want you to think about it for a couple seconds. Let's just say by some miracle, and I don't think it'll happen, I think that he's going to be reselected in 2020, but the concept that he might do kind of what, you know, Bevin there is doing and refusing to accept the results and insisting on a recount and all that kind of thing in 2020, I'd like a prediction from you. Do you think Trump will do that if, by chance, it's too close to call or he loses?
I think he absolutely will do that. I think he will refuse to leave the White House.
And that will definitely lead to some sort of civil unrest. I'm thinking, I don't know if it'll be widespread or, you know, the great, you know, a civil war that so many of them are spoiling for. But I think that that will lead to some direct civil unrest if it occurs. And I'm just hoping, against hope, that that it just goes smoothly one way or another. But I'm fearing, not really fearing, but kind of foreboding this idea where it's like, I don't know, this might happen. This might be it.
Well, listen, my feeling is it's a long ways off. And it's an anything can happen world. And with so many charges coming from so many directions, there's always a chance Trump won't run in 2020. He'll be gone one way or the other. If he was a smart man, he never would have run in the first place. He knew how corrupt he was. Did he think people weren't going to find out about all his double dealings his whole life?
I think it doesn't matter anymore. And the sad part is that this is just the way it is. I disagree that he will not be there. I think his ego won't let him unless he drops dead somehow. I don't think the man is gonna refuse, turn away, or accept the result of anything. Impeachment, election, doesn't matter. I think that he believes he's installed and he's gonna remain. But maybe you and I will have to track that together and see which one of us is right.
Well, we absolutely will. Chuck, thanks so much for joining me today. Good luck in your new digs, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. Chuck Ocelli. Check out his work at ocelli.com. There's a live link here. And I hope you enjoyed today's show, and we'll see you guys. Let's see. Thursday, I'll be back with the news, and Friday, Richie Allen joins me, so stay with me. Thanks.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.